I'm very happy now to welcome to the program Doug Heller and Bobby Valentine. Their new book is called Aloft at the Albuquerque International Balloon Fiesta. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
So you are doing a book signing and a whole event about the book this coming weekend. We'll talk about that in a moment, but let's first talk about hot air balloons. This is a very interesting book. It's not only about the Balloon Fiesta, but it's about these crazy contraptions. I mean, the idea that somebody thought of wanting to go up into the air in a basket, how did it happen?
Well, it all started in France in 1700s when two brothers working in a paper factory noticed with some fire burning that the paper rose over the top of the fire, and they weren't sure why this was happening. At first, they believed that it was the Montpellier gas, which it was called, not the heat from the hot air. And they decided to test this theory and conceived a paper bag, and in French, that was called a ballon, and that's where the name balloon comes from. And they kept on experimenting until they got to the point where they constructed a very large balloon contraption and got approval from the King of France to actually fly that. And the first flight actually involved animals, not humans.
Right.
And
what was it, a duck, a rooster, and a goat or something?
Yes, yes. And they successfully launched, and that's how it all got its beginning. And it kind of grew from there. The sport really lingered it really didn't become a sport until they found a way to take compressed propane and was able to heat that. And that really didn't occur until the 50s, and that's when ballooning really took off as a sport, because now they had a way to heat this air. Heated air is lighter than cold air, and that's what gives the balloons the lift, and the sport really took off from there.
Even in the 18th and 19th centuries, you had people going up to the stratosphere, literally the stratosphere, in these balloons that they made, which is, first of all, it's extraordinary. I mean, it's the highest that anybody had ever gone. And it's, I mean, how could they breathe? We go up to 18,000 feet and can barely breathe.
Right. And that was clearly a problem in the early years. And I think some people lost their lives in the process. Before, there is a race that continues every year that is a distance race, taking the longest distance in a balloon that you can travel. There is no navigational system, but early on, it was how high you could fly. And now that we have airplanes and rockets to take us into outer space, ballooning is now a distance race sport.
Now, how does that actually work? Can you control the... I can see how maybe you can control the vertical motion of a balloon through controlling the hot air, but how do you control the horizontal movement? Are you not just at the mercy of the winds?
Yes, it's airflow. So, depending on the altitude, the winds change direction, and that's what they rely on. So, although there's no navigational control in the sense of an aeroplane, there is some control. They do know which direction they're going, obviously. They know the speed they're going. And they go up and down to chase the wind direction.
So they know which way the wind currents are going and just basically ride that wave.
Correct. Which is how the pilots play with the box effect in Albuquerque, going up and down into different streams of air. And they get forced one way, and then they either go higher or lower, get a different air current, and it pushes them the other direction.
And so they eventually make a rectangle.
Yes, and they come back around. So they're in a perfect condition. They can take off from the field, and go back to the field.
So let's talk about the Albuquerque Balloon Fiesta. How did that begin and when?
Well, it actually began with Sid Cutter. Cutter Aviation is still in existence today. But Sid, in 1971, was having a birthday party for his mother. And he wanted to do something extra special for this birthday party. So he asked a friend if they would inflate a balloon. And because that was very extraordinary at the time, and they inflated a balloon, this kind of made news. About that same time, I believe it was 1972, KOB Radio was having an anniversary. And they wanted to do something special for the anniversary. I think at that point in time, the largest gathering of balloons had been about 13. And Tom Rutherford from KOB collaborated with Sid Cutter, and they said, why don't we do something special for our anniversary and see if we can beat that record and get a larger gathering of balloons. And so that was their goal for the anniversary. That first mass ascension occurred from the Coronado parking lot, made the news, and Balloon Fiesta just grew and grew from there. It reached its peak with, I think, 1,019 balloons, clearly the largest gathering of balloons in the world, and it, I think it still maintains that record of being the largest gathering of balloons of any ballooning event throughout the world. And that number has since been reduced because over the years, Albuquerque has actually grown in population. And as it's grown in population, there's fewer and fewer places to land. So,
oh my goodness!
The board decided it was wise and prudent to actually reduce the number of balloons that they would allow, and I think that number stands at no more than 600.
Talk about the evolution of creative balloon designs. I mean, there's some crazy stuff. There are cathedrals flying in the air. There's animals.
It started with advertising. And the advertisers wanted something different. So they started talking to the balloon manufacturers about doing balloons that would help them advertise whatever their product was. And so the early days were just variations on the teardrop shape. And then you could get, you know, there's a flying Alpo dog food we've seen over the years, and Pepsi and so forth. And then it became really crazy as technology allowed them to design using basically an architectural CAD system, not unlike designing a building. They were able to come up with things like the St. Gallen Cathedral that we feature in the book, which is an astonishing thing to see flying. Yeah. The overall designs vary. There's only a few companies that do the intricate
special
shapes, and they're very, very well known for them. And, of course, the favorites down at Balloon Fiesta are Arabelle, the Creamland cow.
Right.
And the joke is always when it's flying over the field low, it's Close Encounters of the Udder kind.
Oof.
And the bees. The bees are, you know when the bees are about to take off, you can hear the whole field erupt in applause and cheers. It's definitely an audience favorite. But there's some other great ones, and you really, when you understand how they're made, you kind of wonder how they're actually able to get off the ground. I mean, some of them are so slab-sided that the minute there's a slight breeze, it's pretty difficult to get them off the ground, like SpongeBob, the Sunny Boy, which is the beautiful the full sun with the little rays coming off him.
Yeah.
And there's a few others like that. And
Wells Fargo.
And Wells Fargo, of course, the stagecoach.
They take an enormous amount of time to inflate. They take a huge crew because of the size to control the balloon, why it's inflating. They weigh a lot, so just packing them up, you know, once you do inflate it, and if you're lucky enough to take off, once you land, it takes a huge crew to pack all the envelope up and the basket. But they are a favorite of Balloon Fiesta and the crowd, and you don't get the same special shapes down there every year. Some of them come in internationally, so it's always a surprise what special shapes are going to show up for the Balloon Fiesta and whether or not they're going to be able to actually fly.
What weather conditions are necessary for them to take off?
Well,
low wind.
Yeah, low wind. I mean, the early Balloon Fiesta occurred in April. It was later determined that the calmest winds and coolest weather conditions were in October. And eventually Balloon Fiesta was moved to October for that reason. Because you want, again, related to the box condition, which only occurs in very few places throughout the world, you need that cool, very cool morning air and very calm winds.
And so that's why the Mass Ascension is so very, very, very early in the morning.
Correct.
Correct, because the winds pick up, the heat also is a factor, and so that's why ballooning is a very early morning sport. We call it the ugly hour.
We're talking to Doug Heller and Bobby Valentine about their new book, Aloft at the Albuquerque International Balloon Fiesta. What are some of the safety precautions that people have to take when they get involved in ballooning?
Well, first off, you can't just go buy a balloon and inflate it and start flying. You actually have to be fully accredited with the FAA as if you were a pilot of a small fixed-wing plane. So people don't realize that there's a fair amount that goes into that before you even can take off. The pilots that we have flown with over the years are pretty amazing when they go through their pre-flight check, their safety, the checklists with us as the passengers. We, the passengers, become part of the team for watching what's going on above and below us. So we become additional eyes. And so you don't take it for granted. And I think because of the way the pilots take this so seriously is why this is actually a pretty safe sport in the scheme of things. You know, we talk to people, they go, we'd never go up in a balloon. I personally would not jump out of a plane with a sheet on my back. But I have no problem flying in a balloon because of what it goes into the overall process.
Right. I've never, in all the many years that I've, decades that I've lived here in New Mexico, I've never been to one of the Mass Ascensions. Everybody's seen pictures of them. It must be extraordinary to be on the ground watching these balloons go up.
It is.
It's hard to explain. There's an energy level. People, there is large crowds, but we've gone for years. Everyone is so well behaved. It's one of the few balloon events in the world where you actually can be on the launch field next to the balloon when it goes aloft. That's very unusual. And that's one of the reasons it's the most photographed event in the world. But hearing the sound of the burners ignite, and there is the Zebra crew who's responsible for controlling the crowd and the actual launch of balloons, which go off the field in waves. And it's, you know, the back of our book, there's a statement that says ballooning and airborne addiction. And we've met people down that have been involved with Balloon Fiesta for over 30 years. It is addicting. It's addicting being there, and it must, for pilots, it must be addicting to be a pilot and fly. Each flight is a new venture. You don't know what direction you're going to go, where you're going to land. It tests your skills, but it's great fun and great adrenaline, great excitement.
And there is the racing component of it. There's the exhibition component of it. And the racing balloons, they're super aerodynamic and not decorative at all.
Called football shape. And they are more aerodynamic than the standard balloon. It gives them an advantage with the wind and controlling the speed and direction that they go. You do see some of these taking place in the competition. But there's also special shapes
that compete, yeah, which is really interesting. Because when I flew last year, I was in a regular shape balloon, but Pepsi Can was flying right next to us trying to win the prize. So it was interesting to see him, and Hamlet, the flying pink pig that everybody loves, he was flying as well. So some of the special shapes do compete. The America's Challenge is actually gas balloons, not hot air, and so it's a whole different thing. They typically take off late in the day, early evening, and they're the ones that are trying to go the distance, and that's a totally different component to Balloon Fiesta than the hot air balloons. And we do touch on that in the book because it is an important component, and it ties into an international race called the Gordon Bennett.
We're talking about the book Aloft by Bobby Valentine and Doug Heller. So how did you come to write this book? Which is, of course, I mean, right, it's also full of amazing pictures.
Well, it all started with the pictures. We had been fortunate enough to be attending Balloon Fiesta for over 5 years and going down as press through our film distribution business. And so Bobby and I were afforded the opportunity during mass ascension to each fly with pilots and get some amazing photographs. And that's a rare treat because not that many people go up during Balloon Fiesta and mass ascension. So we had all these great images, and we were sitting around one day and we go, God, we've got all these great images. Maybe we ought to think about doing a book. And we did some research and found that there wasn't a lot on ballooning in general. And we looked at the books that had been done in the past of Balloon Fiesta, and we felt that there was some things that we could add to that experience that were not in the previous publications. So we pitched Balloon Fiesta that we have an idea for a book, and we kind of storyboarded what we wanted in it. And we cover the history of ballooning, and we cover all of the 9-day events of Balloon Fiesta, and we also covered ballooning nomenclature, how they're made, how do they fly, how much do they cost, what are the pilot requirements.
How much do they cost?
Well, I mean, they can range from $40,000-$45,000 and up into over a couple of $100,000 for when you get into the special shapes.
So it's not only addiction, but it's a pricey addiction.
Oh,
it is.
So.
It is a pricey addiction.
Yes. Yes.
No question about it. But we wanted to put a book together that inquiring minds wanted to know, and we felt that that would be a great souvenir for people to take away and enrich their ballooning experience.
Over the years, when we'd been on the field and also talking to friends after we'd been down to Balloon Fiesta, we kept hearing people ask, gee, I wish I knew more, or a little kid asking his parent, what makes it go up?
Right.
So there is this need for a little more to know of what they're seeing, not just the incredible experience. And so we figured that needed to be included in the book. And the compliments we've been getting on that, the Balloon Museum was one that commented that they really appreciated the fact that was in there, because they do get people wanting to know a little bit without being like a textbook.
So then they can say, here, read the book.
Yeah, and it's got pictures pointing to the different parts, and so it's easy for anybody of any age to understand the basics of what makes up a balloon.
Exactly. So you are having an event this weekend, Saturday the 20th of August, in the garden courtyard of La Posada Hotel here in Santa Fe from 2 to 6 in the afternoon to introduce the book and just to have fun.
Correct. Yes. Right. We're doing that in conjunction with Santa Fe Friends of Jazz and New Mexico Glass Alliance and La Posada Hotel itself. And we have Steve Stucker coming up for a couple hours from 4 to 6. We've got the John Trentacosta Trio playing from 4 to 6. And we've got a champagne tasting. It's going to be a good break from Indian Market for the afternoon to have people come and do something before they rest up and go out to dinner.
For more information, the website is aloftbooks.com. And you can find out more about the book and the event, and you can view the book as well.
Yes, we have a flipbook loaded on there. So there is a place that says view the book, and you can take a preview, and then there's a place to order.
Excellent.
So it's very easy.
The book is called Aloft at the Albuquerque International Balloon Fiesta. Doug Heller and Bobby Valentine, thanks for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe, and my email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Stay tuned for the BBC, then local news, then jazz.